Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Years ago, a creative Pixar film named Inside Out debuted to wide critical success. And in this film, we are introduced to the emotions of a young girl named Riley. And these emotions exist as cartoon characters in the control room of Riley's mind. And by pressing different buttons and pulling different levers on the console, they express themselves through Riley. And there is joy, there is fear and disgust, and they are also anger. And together they try to help Riley navigate the challenges of growing up. And I think this film resonated with so many people because it was easy to identify with the cartoon caricatures of the emotions. For instance, let's introduce anger. And this is Pixar's introduction to the character anger. Let's watch. Now, I know none of you ever get angry. I know that none of you ever feel like that. It's happened to me a couple times before, however. And I thought about one time in particular, and it was a challenge. A few years ago, I was in a discount warehouse. I was attempting to upgrade our aging cell phones for Julie and for me. And there was this big promotion, national promotion, heavily advertised. One would think that everybody that worked at one of these cell phone stores was ready for this upgrade. I walked in the store assuming this would be an easy, swift transaction with no snags. But from the very beginning, nothing went right. The staff seemed to have no idea what to do. The transaction was going hopelessly wrong so badly that after an hour, the manager was called in on his day off. And while he took command of the situation and things improved a little bit, the computer systems couldn't cooperate at all. Now, I had not planned to spend several hours inside this warehouse with the dim lighting. And here's what made things worse. And I will say, and this is true of many situations where we get angry, this was a first world problem. Nobody was starving. Nobody was hurt. There were no ambulances involved. There could have been ambulances involved, but there weren't. Nothing was really terrible, but it was a conundrum because I had already handed over our phones. They were erased, and then they were deactivated. Because that was the protocol I read. I was ready. I did my part. I find my, you know, whatever, the security features all turned off. And so when I handed them over, and they could not give them back. I was in cellular limbo, cellular purgatory. I temporarily, for the first time in 20 years, had no cellular identity, and neither did Julie. And so I could have walked out. But who knows, would we lose our numbers that we had for 20 years? Would we have to, you know, what? We didn't know where any of that was going. And so I was upset, and inside I was boiling, that a simple errand was turning into, quickly, a half day of lost productivity. Normally, in a situation where I'm stuck, at least I have a device where I can say I can catch up on my emails. I can make sure everybody knows I'm trying to work, at least. I'm trying to get things done here. Nothing. Cellular castaway. So this is going on for quite some time. And eventually, one of the assistant managers at the warehouse, it was Costco, she had noticed I was circling the kiosk and kind of pacing, and she reached out to me. She said, "Is everything going okay? Do you need some help?" She could have also said, "Are you dangerous? Should we call the police?" I don't know what she was thinking, but she said, "Do you need help?" Now, the Inside Out red guy wanted to say, "Are you kidding me? I came in for a simple phone, and those idiots over there took my phone, and they've kept me here for 2 hours. I could have gone on and on and vented." If you were in that situation and it had been hours, what would you have said? What would you have said to the people at the kiosk? What would you have said to the manager? Well, the good news is, that's what I wanted to say, but I had a better resource ready, and it came from the Proverbs. Last week, we talked about the Proverbs. They are short teachings designed to draw us into deeper wisdom. They teach us about God has designed the world to work and how to move through life with peace and abundance instead of conflict and despair. They teach us to be on the right side of that beautiful raw energy in the universe, which is God's presence, God's power. And when we're on the right side of that raw power, we realize that it's actually love. And when we live wisely, the writer of the Proverbs promises us, if you lean forward into these teachings, you'll live a bountiful, abundant life. And he has something to say about anger. And this is what he says. This is Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs it up. Now, even though that makes a lot of sense, that is not what we want to do. We don't want to offer the soft answer in the midst of being angry. If a situation has gone south, a person has wronged us, if they have stepped out of line, if they are not doing their job, doesn't it feel like in the moment, if they got a piece of our mind, that they will have earned that and we'll feel good for getting that off our chest, that they deserve it? And doesn't it sometimes feel righteous to deliver that? And it's not the Christian response. For a variety of reasons, we could say, well, on the one hand, Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek. If someone is screwed up, you're not supposed to go up and slap them. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. We could also say, well, that person is in, you know, turmoil right now. They've made a mistake. Maybe they're not even nice, but they are, in the end, created in the image of God. We could say all those things. And let me say this. I'm talking about typical situations where people disagree. I'm going to take abuse and trauma and put that in a different category. We're not meant to take those with a smile. But in an ordinary situation, why not let someone have it if they deserve it? Well, Proverbs has a reason, in addition to the others I've already listed. And Proverbs is, it's not wise. It's not the path of wisdom to respond angrily. Why? Why isn't it wise? Why? Maybe we would feel good or cathartic to get off our chest. Why isn't it why isn't it not wise? Well, first of all, it's not wise because no matter how justified we feel at the time of our anger, anger is a consuming emotion. Would you agree? Like when you're feeling anger, you're not at the same time like feeling peace and happiness and feeling like giggling. Like anger is consuming. It's a fire. There is a fire in the emotional furnace. And that has the potential to destructively reshape and wire us. There is a Buddhist writer by the name of Thich Nhat Hanh. He said it this way. He said, if you get angry every day, your seed of anger will grow bigger and bigger, and it will be much more difficult for compassion to grow in the same place. Without compassion, it will be difficult to use loving speech. Anger, when it's practiced regularly, and maybe it's watching cable news, maybe it's getting on social media, maybe it's something else, but practicing anger, and we don't think of ourselves as practicing anger, but watch how often you get angry. And if you get angry successively on a daily basis, you're regularly practicing anger. Anger, when it's practiced on a regular basis, makes us angry people. A wise teacher once asked this question, if you are angry at someone else or at them or at that, who is the one holding the hot coals of the fire? If you're angry, who's holding the hot coals? The longer anger dwells in us, the more destructive it can become, and eventually it spills out to those around us. So that's one reason. Secondly, it's not why it can consume us. That's why it's not wise. And it can reshape and rewire us, and that's not good. Secondly, it's not strategic. It doesn't usually solve. You may get some short-term results in certain situations, but generally speaking, it's not strategic. Again, Thich Nhat Hanh says this. He says, if your house is on fire, the most urgent thing to do is to go back, try to put out the fire, not to run after the person you believe to be the arsonist. If you run after the person you suspect has burned your house will burn down while you are chasing him or her. That is not wise. You must go back and put out the fire. So when you're angry, if you continue to interact with or argue with the other person, if you try to punish her, you are acting exactly like someone who runs after the arsonist while everything in you goes up in flames, while your house goes up in flames. Our reactive emotions like anger want to lash out, and we are unaware of the damage we are doing to ourselves in the process. Even as we prepare to unleash what we feel is righteous and righteous judgment, we are in fact doing that as behind our backs, our own house is burning down in flames. Now, I want to pick up on something I said earlier about trauma. I want to acknowledge this. There are times when anger is appropriate, particularly if you have been abused, if you experience trauma. That anger may be a healthy response that says, you have no right to abuse me. You may be carrying around anger from some very legitimate emotional wounds. And I'm not suggesting that you ignore that anger and just put a superficial pile smile over that on your face. Don't do that. That anger has to be acknowledged and healed. And even then, tending that fire of anger carefully so that it's not destructive to you is important. I was thinking about it this way. We have this 50-year-old masonry fireplace, not quite sure what to do with it. It works, but it's not efficient. We're looking for solutions to modernize it, wood stoves, wood inserts, different doors and screens and et cetera. But they all have, no matter which way we end up with that, they all have a few things in common. One is, I will be outside for a very long time splitting wood. But that's beside the point for today. Second is, all of those solutions have in the mix the idea that they will contain the fire safely. They will let it burn. They will let it be consumed. They will let the fuel be consumed without burning the house down. So if you are in the process of healing from trauma and anger, working with someone to help you contain that fire so that that anger is processed in a healthy way is the best thing that you can do. But now let's go back to the level of daily interaction, first world problems, common frustrations and miscommunications. What happens when we deliver the wise answer instead of the angry, vindictive answer? Let's go back to the warehouse. During the cell phone upgrade marathon, things were not getting any easier. But the kind assistant manager had come up and said, is everything going okay? Can I help you? And again, this was another opportunity to let the red guy speak, the red guy with the microphone. And instead, I heard myself, through the grace of God, calmly saying something like, thank you so much for asking. Yes, I would really appreciate your help. I came in here for a phone upgrade over 2 hours ago, and things aren't going so well. And I proceeded to describe the situation calmly, point by point, the phenomena of what happened, and then what happened next, and then what happened next. I didn't raise my voice. And when I was done speaking, her eyes got very big, and she said, I'm so sorry, I'm horrified, we don't manage that kiosk directly, but let me see what I can do. And the fact that, despite the fact there were probably thousands of people in the warehouse at the time, at least hundreds, she dropped everything that she had been doing and sped over to the kiosk to see how she could help. And 2 hours and 45 minutes from when it all started, I walked out with new phones. It's actually this one, and it's getting really old and slow, but I'm terrified to upgrade it. Again, first world problem, long but temporary. I knew everything was going to work out one way or the other, and it was just frustrating. And when I worked hard to remain calm, direct, and kind, and diplomatic, I think what happened was I created an opportunity for that assistant manager to have compassion on me and help me rather than feeling defensive and yelled at. And that got us on the same team. And it's funny, you know, for weeks afterwards, despite the fact that she had seen thousands of people in the warehouse every time between the times I went in, she remembered me. And if I saw her, she would say hi. She would say hello, how are you doing? And I'd say, how are you doing? We can probably all think of times when we got angry and things didn't go well, but think about times when something worked out. What happened when it worked out? Most likely, somebody shifted the tone with a soft answer, just like the teacher in Proverbs tells us. Someone had the presence of mind to say, you know what? Let's not argue. Let's be on the same team here. I'm sorry. I have at least some responsibility in this disagreement, and here's what it is, and I'm sorry for my part in it. Not, but you did this, just, I'm sorry I did this thing. I shouldn't have said this. I could have said it better. So often that frees the other person up to say, oh, well, I'm sorry for this. When you leave out the but you did this part, you just leave that out. That frees up the other person to say, I'm sorry for this and that. I take responsibility for my end of things, and here's what that was. Are we ready to move on? You know, so often what we think of diplomacy is carrots and sticks. And sometimes in parenting, the carrots and the boundaries our safe way to teach our young ones about the way that the world actually works. Like, if you do this, it's not going to go well. So let me just give you, like, you're not going to have allowance for today. But later in life, if you don't learn this lesson, it could be a paycheck later in life or something because you get fired. Like, it's carrots and boundaries with kids. But in the realm of wise adults, we can actually go beyond that. There's another level past that. And it's the kind answer that gets us all on the same team. It's the kind answer that helps the other person realize there actually is only one team. That's team humanity. And in the moment, we are on different sides of a dilemma. But if we work together, we can get on the same side and solve that dilemma together for the best of both of us and the best of those around us who won't have to put up with our grumpy, angry moods. The deeper wisdom of Proverbs is to get on the right side of who God is and the way that God has designed creation to work. And Proverbs 15 reminds us that we created ones work best when we are working together to help each other find our way through life. That's the goal. And the soft answer does that. It kickstarts that process. The wrathful answer takes it in a different direction. Proverbs teaches us the soft answer, the kind answer, the gentle answer, the diplomatic answer, the non-reactive answer gives human beings to get on the same side and solve problems together. So may the kind and diplomatic responses you need to get through life this week be ready and available on your lips when you need them. May we pray. Almighty God, so often when things don't get our way, we get frustrated. We get angry. And we pray, dear God, for the deeper wisdom to hold life with loose hands, realizing that so often we cannot control outcomes. We can't control what happens when we hand our cell phone over to another person or land at the cash register and the person has to replace the tape in the register or when our paperwork doesn't go through for something important at work. Or when a child comes home and says they've lost this or that, or they forgot to do their homework, on and on and on. Life is a classroom of learning to be patient. And as we take that class, dear God, and anger and frustration boils up within us, teach us the art form of giving the soft, kind, diplomatic answer instead of the rageful, angry one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.